You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton, bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon. And we're honored to be here with you. And you that's been listening for a long time, you know that we've had a situation medically and haven't been here, and they're playing a lot of the programs from the past, but we're going to do something fresh today for the first time in a long time.
First time in a long time. A whole month.
Over a month, yeah.
Seems like it's been more than a month. But
we're going to get it done, and so we just want to thank you for all your prayers. We're home now. I had a problem with my hip from a previous hip replacement. And so I spent 4 days in the hospital, about 10 days in therapy. So we came home on Tuesday, and we're trying to get back into the groove again. It's kind of slow progress, but we're going. And then my precious wife, she's had a little problem as well. And so we're going through two things at one
time. Actually, he lost several days. He actually spent a week in one hospital, a week in another hospital, and 10 days in rehab.
So I lost time, didn't I?
That's a lot more than 4 days,
yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
And
had me all drugged up.
He caught a very bad infection, and it landed in his hip, so he had to have part of his hip replaced again. So it's been a big, tough recovery for him. And while he was in all these things, I was staying with him every night in the hospital, and I now have a medical condition, so you really need to pray for me as well, because
I have to go through some
tests, and it may be some serious things, but we know with God's help,
all things are possible,
that we shall overcome this,
yes,
as well.
Amen.
And we know that we have to be warriors.
That's warrior brides. We're warriors.
And this is a time to war. I know many of God's, I've heard this, and since this has happened, people have called us that we haven't talked to in 14 years. We've been laid on their hearts. And it's been a difficult time, to say the least. But we're glad to be back on Raising the Standard, because that's what God's called us to do. And as long as we have breath, we will continue. Anyway.
Thank you for your patience with listening to the programs from the past.
Give us that grace and that patience.
Yeah, thank you.
Want to give you the telephone number here, mm-hmm, if you want to call. It's area code 772-285-7007.
If you'd like to talk
and
with us.
And we've come on to encourage you, and we know that you encourage us by your prayers and your phone calls. And we just want to let you know that we love God, and we love God's people. And we've been called to raise the standard as long as we have breath.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
So we would just ask you to pray for us.
if you think about us every day, and even pray for our finances, because this medical stuff is outrageous. You can just clean your checking account in no time, and your bank account out in no time. And so pray for our health, and pray for the finances to cover what we've already had done. And I'm still underway. I still got to take antibiotics every day up here in my shoulder, the liquid that they're putting in every
twice
day.
Twice a day. At least a month.
Yeah.
They taught me to do what do they call it?
A pick line.
Pick line. He has a pick line in him. And we are home, though. Praise God for that. We're not in the hospital any longer. It's been, 2 days minus a month that we were, but this has been going on. And we do thank the radio station, WCNO, and Pastor Tom Creighton for their prayers and for them continuing to play some of the programs that we have played in the past. And I know that they are all been blessing to you as well, because it's God's work. Amen? It's God's work.
Amen.
And so we're called to raise the standard. So we thank you and we bless you guys.
Thank you very much. So we've been on here for 18 plus years, and we're going to continue down the road. So we were thinking about I was thinking this morning about the battle we go through in this life. You know, we know that there's the world has thoughts of it, and there's only one God, but they think there's two gods. A lot of people, you know, that we have God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and then we have the people that worship Satan. And so we got to distinguish what's going on, and we know that we're in a fallen world. The Bible says that we are, and it says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so we have to just move on with the Lord and accomplish what He wants. And so I thought we might talk a little bit about that today. And I was thinking about some things I've read here in the past that I pulled out of my briefcase this morning looking at it. It was an interesting article I read. I might just read part of it to you. It says the Bible does present a warfare worldview, and Donna just talked about this is a year of the warring spirit. The warring bride has to be involved with this. Okay, so it's a warfare world, but it does not speak of two equally ultimate deities, which would be what God the Father and Satan, as a lot of people look at. Some people worship Satan. Many of the pagan religions speak of spirits, demons, and malevolent spirit entities. There's a never-ending battle between good and bad, light and darkness that will never end, because neither deny what they're doing, but yet they think neither are deity. They're able to vanquish the other. However, this is a theological dualism, is not the biblical view. So we have these two views, and there's a war going on, and we'll continue on that until Jesus comes back. The battle between light and darkness. Hallelujah. In the biblical view, evil is intelligent, and it certainly is. We are warned about Satan's devices over in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2:11, where it says that the wiles or the schemings of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. But Satan is never presented as God's equal. Remember that. Satan is never presented as God's equal. The demons had to get Jesus' permission to enter the herd of swine. We read, and forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. This is in Mark chapter 5, I believe, verses 12 and 13. Even as Satan could do nothing to Job but what God allowed with Job. And this is in Job 1, 6 through 12. In the background of Jesus' ministry is the thought that there is a spiritual war in progress. Satan has taken something that is not his. He certainly has. Satan is referred to as the prince. It's a Greek word pronounced archon, A-R-C-H-O-N. Of the world. And you can read that word is mentioned in John 12:31, of John 14:30, and John 16:11. So this word archon or prince refers to the highest authority in a given area. See, every area where people live, there's a principality and a power and a prince over this area, like here in Stewart or wherever you live. And each area has a different one. But they're all there. They've been sent out by Satan himself and giving them permission to do whatever they can to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a remarkable testimony to this in the temptations of Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, we read again, "The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Jesus never denied that they were in Satan's possession. And John, I believe 5:19, explains the whole world lieth in wickedness. And who's behind all that? Satan himself. Jesus perceived many of the afflicted as being under attack from some kind of an alien or evil force in God's good creation. He claimed that some, though not all, sickness, we know, had something to do with this alien and evil force. In Luke chapter 13, we read this, of a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, this is in verse 11. The ruler of the synagogue in which the miracle had taken place was indignant that Jesus worked on the Sabbath. Jesus' response is enlightening, and he said, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? That's in verse 16. He loosed her, and we know when he looses people, that's the end of it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Glory be to God. If someone asks, why did God become man and die on the cross? Many Christians would answer and say this, to save us from our sins. That is certainly a good answer. But Hebrews 2:14, however, completes the biblical picture. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. That's in 1 John 3:8, I mean, the tail end of the verse, John 3:8. When Jesus drove out demonic entities, the kingdom was expanding. He was binding the strong man, as it says in Matthew 12:22-29. But does this mean that Satan is now bound and virtually powerless? The answer is no. We've talked about this a lot at the church, about this. You know, he was manifested, Jesus, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, the word might is like an if. And the word destroy there means to loose or undo us. So if we allow the Lord to do it, we walk with him, trust him, well then, he was manifested that we might be loosed and undone from the things of the devil, and we can walk with him. Oh, boy.
Glory.
Glory be to God. So this is some interesting things that we see here. All the things that we're living in this crazy world that we're in right now, and all this stuff is going on. There's a battle in the heavenlies, we know that, right over Stuart, wherever you may live.
And
you're listening to this radio program, there's a different prince, that Archon is in your area. So we have to battle and war against those things that he's trying to bring a death to us. And Jesus said he was going to give us a life abundant and more. And so he knows, and he told us, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us abundant life, spiritual life. That's what we need more than anything else, right, Pastor Donna?
There's a battle in our nation. Mm. There's a battle with this election that's going to be coming up.
That's right.
A battle between right and wrong.
That's right.
Between holiness and the world.
That's it.
The world. The world says one thing, but God says something else.
That's right.
You know, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Hallelujah. That's
so
right.
As we diligently seek him, he will reward us, whether it's a person, or it's a family, it's a church. And we thank our church have been so faithful. And so we have such faithful people in our church. We may not have a lot of people, but we have faithful people who love God and who trust God and who stand beside each other, lifting each other up.
Thank
and I just want to thank them, those who are part of this ministry, those who have been praying for us, and those who are maybe they're not part of Spirit of Prophecy or part of the radio program, but they are friends and they are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right.
And that we stand together as one. He says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Seek him out. He's got all the answers.
Seek first God. And, you know, not only an individual, but a family, a church, a city, a nation. Our nation is under attack. And it's an attack between righteousness and ungodliness.
That's it.
And worldliness. We really need to seek the Lord on who we are to vote for.
Yeah.
There are a lot of blind Christians out there today that aren't really seeking the Lord, and we really need to seek the Lord for who God would have to put in as president of this United States of America.
Our morals has totally been destroyed almost in this country. The morals are terrible now, we know.
That's right.
It says we need someone that'll stand up.
We have to look at the fruit of people.
That's right.
What are the fruit? What's the history? What's behind their lives?
Amen.
We need to look at that.
Got it.
And God knows. God knows.
Yeah.
So we just thank the Lord that we are here today and we're able to talk to you and be on WCNO on this radio broadcast. You can listen to this again sometime if you'd like. You can always go to the internet and listen to WCNO on the internet. It's the whole program. You can go to Saturday. They have total 24-hour radio broadcasting, music and teaching, and you can go and listen to other teachings that we have done and other people have done. They have a whole history of them. You just go to whoever you're looking for, go to their schedule, their programming schedule, and you can find Raising the Standard on Saturdays at 12 noon. You can find other programs on. It is a blessing to be on WCNO radio station, which we've been on for 18 plus years. And so we thank the Lord for this radio broadcast because they are endeavoring to bring forth the truth. And Pastor Tom Creighton is a good man, and he's in this radio broadcast and this radio station. We really do thank the Lord that we have this here in our area, and not only our area. It's all over the world now. You know, it's on the internet, so anyone in the world can listen to this program. You can tell your friends who may live in other cities, other states, other countries, and they can listen to Raising the Standard, and they can learn more about their Hebraic roots and about the feasts of the Lord. And you know, Pastor Gene has done this great work on the feasts of the Lord, all the feasts of the Lord, and we're coming up here on Purim. And what is Purim all about?
That's right, boy.
You know, it's about Esther, and it's about a woman who and a man named Mordecai who stood and did what God told them to do. And they had a battle. The enemy,
sure did, boy.
The wicked Haman and his 10 sons, from history back, you know, they were told to destroy that group of people. What were they called, that group of people, Pastor Gene?
The Persians.
The Persians. And you know,
The Jews, yeah.
King Saul didn't do it. No. And so here these people were raised up again to attack God's people. And what did they want to do? They wanted to kill every single Jew that was in captivity, you know, that was in the Persia and in all the different provinces all around. You read the book of Esther this time. This is the time of Purim, and we're in the month of Adar. And you know, wicked Haman, he came. His plan was to kill Mordecai, to kill every single Jew.
That's it.
And you know, that's what the enemy comes. John 10:10 says the thief. This is the devil.
That's it.
A picture of Haman. He's a picture of the devil. He's a picture of the Antichrist.
Sure is.
Just like Hitler was.
Yeah.
Picture of the Antichrist. Came to kill. It says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Sure. Yeah.
And so this is what's happening during this month. Not only Pastor Gene and myself, but there are a lot of other ministries, big time ministries. Yeah. I heard Kenneth Copeland really has had a struggle.
That's right.
A lot of other big ministries that for people are having a struggle. You know, the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, but Jesus said, but he's given us what? Life.
And more abundant.
Life. Not only, I believe, life here on this earth to do what God's called us to do, but eternal life, and that we might be in abundance.
That's right.
Jesus, I'm just going to read that exactly the way it says in John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's talking about life now.
That's
not
right.
Only eternal life, mm-hmm. but life here on this earth. God, Jesus has given us eternal life, and he's given us life that would be abundant life.
Thank
that
you,
we
Lord.
Would have life and we might have it more abundantly. So we expect greater things.
That's right.
Because We have overcome the enemy by the blood of Christ, the
That's
blood
right.
of Jesus Christ, and the power of his blood. And so we thank the Lord for that we come through. And, you know, we're not the only people who are struggling with something or a health problem, or could be, you know, maybe you're struggling with finances. Maybe you're struggling with your family. You know, we got to know, we got to put the enemy under our feet and keep him there, because the thief is only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will work any way he possibly can to
any
do that.
Any road he can get in, he will.
Any door, any place, any way.
He's allowed.
But we know that Jesus said, I am the
door. The
door. Jesus is the door.
He's the door.
Amen. And we enter in. And we're going to be saved, and we shall go in and out, and we will find pasture, because he is the good shepherd.
That's right.
Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life. He gave his life for the sheep, for us. But we know that the enemy is a hireling, and is not the shepherd, whose own shepherd are not. Seeth the wolf coming. He's like a wolf coming. And he wants to attack the sheep. He wants to kill, to steal. He wants to take their fleece. He wants to take their finances. You know, we came home the day after we came home, our air conditioning totally went out. $2,300.
Yeah,
we
that.
Just now we have air conditioning now, one day without it, but we
no
have
finances
it
out the
but
door.
Steal. What's he want to steal? He not only wants to steal your life, he wants to steal your finances.
That's right, everything you have.
He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your family. Anything he can steal, he wants to steal. That's all he is. And, you know, he never quits. He wants to steal. And if he can steal, then he wants to kill. And he wants to destroy. So we got to know who the enemy is. And we got to know who the good shepherd is.
That's good, right. Shepherd
is Jesus Christ. And it says that with the sheep, we will know his voice. We will know him.
Amen.
We know him. Mm-hmm. And he's known of us. And we know him, and he knows us. So we just thank the Lord that... the Father knows us, and so we just totally sold out to the Lord. Totally sold out to the Lord.
Well, Pastor Don is talking on it. I got thinking about this thing with all this stuff about the election that's on TV. I mean, it's wearing you out, you know. And
it's a game. Some of it is a game.
It's a game.
Some
right.
of it's not a game.
Right. But I have a comment here from a book I read one time. And this man made this statement. He talked about these demonic forces. Think about all the demonic forces going around, all these people that are running for office. He said this. He says the demonic forces that are those spirits that operate in the realm of governments,
mm-hmm.
The satanic world system, through the human agency of kings,
mm-hmm.
princes, and other governmental officials. And that's what we got going on.
And we just may tell you the reasons why who we feel that we support that would make the best president of the United States. We need to really seek, you know, those who think might make the best president. I don't believe many people are looking to someone who might, but I believe that there is a man that God has called. But you know what? The enemy wants to steal that as well.
Sure, they would make up lies about
him. They want to make up lies. They want to
ruin their character.
They want to make somebody who looks charismatic to be that might be he might be the greatest one. But I don't believe so, and I believe that I have heard from the Lord, and I believe that I heard from the Lord many months ago. Many months ago.
That's right.
And the man who's right now, the Lord spoke to me, is not who, quote, quote, everybody is looking to. I feel, and I'm just going to say it, Pastor Gene.
Okay.
I feel that Ted Cruz would make the best president for this United States of America. I believe he knows the Constitution better. I believe that he's a man of God, and I believe that he stands for righteousness, and I believe what he says he means, and I believe that he's not playing games. He's not trying to pull a wool over anybody's eyes. He's not playing tricks. I believe he's an honest man of God, a family man of God, a godly man. And I believe that he's a shaker and a mover, the man who should be in that office. And we should be praying for him and protection for his family
right. As
well. So I have said that. I can say more later. But people need to really pray and seek the Lord. Don't listen to everything you're hearing on TV.
All the ads.
Go and do some research on some of these people yourself. And you will see that some of them have been involved in things that are not of God at all.
That's right.
And they may be pretending to be somebody mm-hmm. who they're not. You know, it says you know, the enemy, he comes. The enemy comes as like an angel of light.
Sure does.
But we know, it says, those who are truly of God, we will know them by their fruit.
Amen.
By their fruits, by what they've done, by their past. You know, you don't just change a leaf overnight.
That's right.
Okay? So,
we got so many, so of them, much said, so many of them are running, and they believe one way in the past, now they're believing another way. They'll do anything to get elected, you know. And so we have to be aware of all this. That's what we have to really understand, that there's a battle going on in the heavenlies.
There is
right
a
now.
Battle going
Huge
on in the heavenlies.
We've never had an election where we had so many candidates at one time. It's unbelievable. And so you can see the devil's wanting to bring confusion, distraction, getting people thinking of other things. And so we have to look at the truth of all of it and find out some things about these men before you even think about voting for them. Find out about their lives. Find out about their parents. What were their parents like? How were they probably grown?
Well, you know, in the book of Esther, Pastor Gene,
yeah,
the thief tried to do all these things as well. But, you know, there was a wise man, and he was a humble man, a
yep.
man by the name of Mordecai.
Mordecai.
And he took in a girl. It wasn't his own daughter. Her parents had died, and he was like an uncle to her, and he became, you know, adopted her like a father would, and he loved her,
yeah.
and he brought her up in the right way, and he told her the right things to do, you know, and she was wise, and she listened to him. She didn't let the enemy know who she was.
That's right.
She kept it a secret, her identity. She kept her true identity a secret, and she was humble. You know, when she went before the king, she didn't go looking for to look like a, you know, a queen. She went in humbly before him. Even when she went in the last time, and when she said, you know, to save her people, she said, "If I perish, I perish." She went before the king without
she went before
even
the king with
being
the purposes
called.
Of God. That's what
she had the purposes of God. And what did she do? She fasted and prayed.
That's right.
For 3 days, and she had all the, and the Mordecai had been already been fasting. He had already been laying in sackcloth
and ashes
at the door of the king's palace. He had already done godly things. He had already even protected the king from two men who wanted to kill him.
Yes.
You know, he didn't do it braggadociously, but he did it, you know, humbly, and you know, he was rewarded openly.
Sure
he was rewarded openly, and you know, even Haman had to take him around and parade him around the city
on the horse,
the king's horse and the king's clothing.
Yeah.
You know, and he was very angry about that. He was embarrassed. Well, you know, we need to get the devil mad. We need to get the devil mad, because God says we've been given power and authority
over him.
We've been given power and authority over all the works of the enemy.
Yeah.
Right, Pastor G?
That's right, we sure
and
have.
And so he knew that. He knew who he was in God. And Esther knew too, because she came to that, to the conclusion after she fasted and prayed, and she said, "If I perish, I perish." And then she fasted and prayed with her maidens and the other people, the Jewish people. And what did they do? She went before the king. We go before the king. We go before God the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we give him our petition. She took her petitions in to him, and he granted her favor. And, you know, in the end, it says, at the end of the book of Esther, it says, you know, even, you know, Haman was killed. His ten sons were killed. They were hung on the gallows. After they were dead, a display. You know, we need to display
the power of God
over the works of the devil.
That's right.
And so they were hung on these gallows after they were killed.
That's right.
So, and you can read that. You need to read, we need to read the book of Esther this month. This month and next month we have 2 months of Adar.
Sure.
Maybe you want to explain that, but it's not really that important right now. But this all happened during the month of Adar, which is what we're in now. And so this is the time that the enemy attacks. And it's 30 days before Passover. Normally there's Adar and then there's the month of Nisan. Nisan is the month of Passover, right?
Right.
And they're exactly 30 days apart.
Yeah.
Well, this year they're not 30 days apart, they're 60 days apart.
Because we have 2 months
of Adar.
So
they even believe that this happened during when they had a period of 2 months of Adar. So we don't know for a fact. But you know, the enemy wants to do double. Well, I just got this in the spirit. He wants to do double damage.
That's right.
And it looks like he's doing it in a lot of areas. He's done it in our life already. This month, he's done double damage. My husband, myself, and, you know, other things. So he wants to do double the damage that he may normally do. Mm-hmm. And so at this time, he wanted to kill and destroy every single Jew. You know how many Jews there were in that area? There were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews. It actually tells you the number. I don't remember where it's at right here in the book of Esther offhand. But I mean, I've read the book of Esther many times, and I have just about everything highlighted in the book of Esther. So, but we can learn from this, and we can learn from how these people, these two people, and the Jewish people were able to fight and win the battle. And they even stood a second day. And, you know, it became joy for them. And at the end of it, it talks about the joy. It became a feast, days of feasting and days of joy.
Yeah.
It says, but the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day, 3 days of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness.
That's right.
They won the battle.
Because they won the battle.
We can win the battle. So we have to stand. We can't crumble. We have to stand, even at the worst of odds, when we see things that may look the worst of all. We have to stand, and we have to continue to stand.
That's right.
Because we overcome the enemy, what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
That's right.
And not loving our lives, what? Unto death.
I think about, Haman was only after one Jew to start with.
And then Mordecai.
With Mordecai. And he really got upset, and then he wanted to kill all the Jewish people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out, if you study the book, that Haman's ancestry took you all the way back to King Saul.
King Saul.
When they had that battle, and God told him to go in and kill everything, don't leave anything. And so what did he do? He disobeyed God. He took the spoils and all that. And so he was removed as king, okay? But look what we read in the book of Esther at the end. When they went to war, they were given the privilege to fight for themselves. It says they didn't touch the spoils. See, because Saul had done that. So the curse with that group of people was broken with Esther and Mordecai in her day. And it had been around for hundreds of years.
And how many hundreds of years did it take for him to get that power?
Yeah.
Because, you know, all of the family of Haman was killed, except for just a few?
Yeah.
It happened to be a child, a son, and they continued to build their lineage up.
That's right.
Until, you know, here Haman comes into this place of Shushan, and he finds favor with the king. You know, he pulls the wool over the king Ahasuerus's eyes, and he becomes next in command. And so all the things that he does, you know, the king just agrees with him. You know, he gives him his stamp of approval. He gives him his ring. He gives him authority. And, you know, he becomes, well, his next of, you know, his best friend. What do you call it? You know, Haman could practically walk in to see the king at any time, So he manipulated the king.
Sure did.
You know, what does the devil want to do? He wants to manipulate people. He wants them to manipulate us. We're being manipulated.
Divide us.
We're being manipulated with this this election that's coming up. Many Christians are looking the wrong way. They're being manipulated. And so, that's my opinion. And I have a right to my opinion.
That's right.
Amen. We all have a right to our opinion. Okay. We all have freedom of speech. So I can say who I believe I feel would be the best president of this United States of America.
That's your personal opinion.
It is my opinion. And I feel that I have heard from the Lord. And not I haven't, and it wasn't just now. And people in our church know, because I said months and months ago who I felt the Lord would be the best president of the United States of America. So this wicked Haman, and whenever we do this, because we do a Purim program, which we'll be doing this very soon. When we do this, and whenever the word Haman is said, people, we say boo. We stomp our feet. We write Haman
noisemaker
on our feet. And we stomp our feet. And we make noise because we are against the works of the devil.
Amen.
And we have been given a voice, and we clap our hands and we shout and we boo him.
That's right.
But, you know, it was enough time for him to have 10 sons. Imagine, he wasn't a young man. Haman couldn't have been really young unless he had, I don't know how many wives he had. But he had...
Ten sons.
He had 10 sons, and it doesn't talk about him having several wives, so I assume he, these 10 sons may have been from the one wife. But he had 10 sons, 10 wicked sons. You know, we have had this teaching before about 10 is the number of overcoming the devil.
Yeah.
How many plagues were there?
10 plagues.
10 plagues till they overcame and they were set free.
Got
right
it.
From Egypt. Mm-hmm. And Moses was able to take him into the promised land.
Hallelujah.
He was able to, he actually didn't take him into the promised land, but he took them out of
Egypt. That's right.
And they crossed the Red Sea. And, you know, all these miracles that happened. But it took 10 plagues to be able to get them out. 10 is the number to overcome the wicked one. And Haman had 10 sons. You know, when we see in the Bible, we'll see repetition. It may not be the same story, but you're going to find the same numbers. You're going to find many things that will line up. You'll see parallels.
Right.
And so here's Haman has these 10 sons. Well, Haman was the first one to die. And then when they had the battle, you know, they killed all 10 of those sons.
Yeah, they killed
them
all.
See, Saul didn't do that. Saul was a wicked king, and he didn't obey God.
That's right.
And what did Samuel tell Saul, Pastor Gene?
He said because if he was disobedient, he was going to lose his anointing, and he did.
So because, and he even went to a witch, or you, what they call the witch. The Bible doesn't call it a witch. He calls it Saul went to a
soothsayer
to get information because he wanted to talk to Samuel.
That's right.
Call Samuel up from the dead. You know, the Bible says not to do that.
That's right.
And so
He disobeyed God.
And the prophet said that you will no longer be king. You've lost your anointing. He disobeyed God. He did not do what God said. You know, he did part of what God said, but God doesn't expect us to just do part of what he said. He expects us to do all of what he says.
So he
expects us to be obedient.
That carried through all those years, all the way down to Esther's day. And finally, God found two people. It would stand against it, and they stopped the
disobedience. But because he didn't kill all of those, all of Haman's relatives, all that whole generation of people, which God told them to do, destroy them, even the children.
That's right, kill them.
Why? Because they're wicked. God knows the ones who are wicked. You know, there's some people that are born, they're going to be wicked, and there's no way you're going to ever change them. You know, there are, and the Bible says that. So he didn't kill them all. He didn't destroy them all. And so that allowed them to repopulate and repopulate and repopulate until here comes Haman and his 10 wicked sons.
Yeah.
And so what happens, it took all those years to come to the place where Haman and his sons were all destroyed and they were hung on gallows to make a display of them. We're to make a display of the enemy. You know, I hate the devil. And we are to we're to let people know that we're not afraid of the devil, but we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Only two things that God told us to hate is the enemy and sin.
That's it. The enemy and sin.
That's right. So he's working overtime.
That's right.
It's quite an event in history when we think about what was done at that day, you know. Esther really had boldness, but we know that God was on her side because she fasted for 3 days and God told her exactly what to do. And so she had no fear of going in before the king. And she found favor, and look what happened. Those two, her and Mordecai. Read the last part of Esther, honey.
I'm over here in chapter 5. It says, you know, Haman, there was a banquet.
Yeah.
And, you know, Haman thought he was pretty special because he was invited to the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
But why did she invite? She was a very wise woman. Why
just Haman
did
and the
she
king.
Invite Haman to the banquet with the king?
Yeah.
Because she was going to expose him in front of the king. And the king was going to see that, because even what he did, you know, trying to beg her and to, you know, find favor with her, you know, the king saw. And what did he do? He bagged his head and he took him out. And they killed him.
That's right.
Right then and there. The king didn't. The king's eyes were finally opened, right?
Didn't hesitate.
That's
right. Saw an enemy in the camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing, Don was talking about the banquet. You know, Esther's request at the first banquet was, well, I'd like to have another banquet tomorrow. Well, you say, why didn't she just expose Haman at the first one? Well, there's a purpose for that. God wanted to get it on the right day on his prophetic calendar. So she asked for a banquet the next day with just the king and Haman again. So they came to the second banquet, and then that's when he was exposed.
Let me read this here part here, Pastor Gene, because, you know, Haman thought he was something. He had pride. Mm-hmm. What's the devil have? Pride. What did Satan have? What did Lucifer have? He had pride, and God had to bring him down. It says here in chapter 5, it says, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children. He has all these children. You know, he's proudful. And all the things wherein the king hath promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princesses and the servants of the king. So the king made him number one, uno one, right? And Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. This is going to go in the second day. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. See, he hated Mordecai. And so his wife Zeres, his wife, and all his friends unto him, they give him, they're telling Haman what to do. And they say, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. That's 75 feet high. You know how high that is?
Yeah.
Everyone in the whole countryside would see it. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, to Esther's banquet. And the king pleased, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. So he listened to the advice of, you know, his bad counsel, I would say. And on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before him. So these chronicles that were read before him was a history of things that happened during his time, and how Mordecai had actually saved his life.
Yep.
Actually saved his life.
And then he also found out
that Mordecai was never rewarded for
this.
Right. And so did Mordecai complain because he wasn't rewarded? No,
nope.
He did it because he does good things. People that do things that are right and do things good, they don't expect to be rewarded for it, right? Mm-hmm. Where our reward comes from the Lord. Anyway, so he goes into the court and he says, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. You know, he never turned Haman away.
Yeah.
He never turned him away.
Yeah.
So Haman came in. See, that the king was fooled. You know, we can be fooled. Christians can be fooled.
Sure can,
boy. We can be fooled. Think about that when you're thinking about this election.
That's right. It's supposed to stuff
in
the church.
And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor it more than myself? Mm-hmm. So Haman's thinking, oh, the king's going to honor me. Well, he got a big surprise, didn't he? Because the king had found out during the night by reading the chronicles that there was a special man by the name of Mordecai who had never been honored.
That's right, for what he did.
And never been honored for what he had done. And Haman answered, and the king answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And this is what Haman is telling the king. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal. You know, let me have your horse. Let me have your clothes. Let me have your crown, which set upon his head, put it on my head, he's saying, and let this apparel and this horse be delivered to the hand of the one, the king's most noble princesses, that they may array the man within whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city. In other words, take me through the streets of Shushan, show me off with
Haman
your crown and your clothes
him,
and
he?
Your horse. That's right. And proclaim him before him. Proclaim who I am. In other words, saying, say how great I am. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Well, then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse and that thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew.
Can you imagine the face on Haman?
Haman went from a smile to
a white face,
anger, frozen.
Yeah.
He says, do this to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. He's always, remember, he was sitting at the king's gate in sackcloth and ashes. Here he comes. He's going to put these clothes on a man who's sitting at the king's gate, wailing and crying. You know, he was crying unto the Lord at the king's gate, which wasn't supposed to be done. And let nothing fail that all that thou hast said. So Haman had to take all the apparel and the horse, and he arrayed Mordecai, and he brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. So the enemy had to take Mordecai on that horse, walk. He had to walk. He wasn't on a horse. He had to walk through the streets
of Shushan.
Shushan, declaring this about Mordecai. And Mordecai has on the king's crown. He has on the king's clothing, and he's on the king's horse. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. What, did he come there to be celebrated? No, he didn't. He came there to do what he was called to do. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. He was embarrassed big time.
Sure he was.
And Haman told his wife Zeres. Now here she's going to say something that's kind of, you know, she, guess she's hearing. Maybe she's hearing it from the truth. His wife and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeres his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall. Amen. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. So we see that Mordecai did not get hung on the gallows 75 feet high, but Haman did. Haman did. Yes, he went to those two banquets, and he was exposed at that second banquet, and he was taken right away, and he was hung on that gallows, and he died.
As we're talking about the second banquet again now, we kind of left that back down the road a little ways back. We're talking about that. Why would Esther ask for two? If you study the Bible and about Esther, you'll find out it was in the month of Nisan. Mm-hmm. You'll find out the day that she had the first banquet. If you look at it real close, it was on Nisan 16. Well, the second banquet came on Nisan 17. Why would God allow that to happen? Well, here's the key thing. God wanted it to be on the right day. Nisan 17 was the exact day, hundreds of years in the future, when Yeshua, our Messiah, would come out of the grave.
To overcome the works of the devil.
And so we know that Mordecai was a picture of Satan. He had 10 sons, picture of the 10 nations.
You mean Haman was a picture of Satan.
Haman, yeah. Well, he was a picture of Satan, and his 10 sons was like a picture of the 10 nations will be there at the end, as it talks about in the book of Revelation and all. So it's all a prophetic book. God's name is not mentioned one time in that book, but his signature's on every single page.
And the king is a picture of God the Father.
That's right.
And Mordecai is a picture of? Hmm? Mordecai, who's Mordecai a picture of?
Well, what do you think about? I wonder what you're talking about.
Well, you said, we know Haman is a picture of Satan.
Right.
Right? He's a picture of Satan. And we know the king is a picture of, he makes decisions.
Father.
God the Father.
Okay.
And now we have Esther and we have Mordecai. Well, Mordecai was paying a price. They've actually both paid a price.
Sure, they paid a price.
You know?
Yeah.
And Esther, she did what she had to do. Jesus did what he had to do, right. Didn't
so
he?
So Esther's like a picture of Christ because she's the one that went in and did the work. And then Mordecai, I believe, is what follows, which is what the Holy Ghost does for us also, because he
leads us and the church.
That's
what's
right.
The church called to do? They're called to pray and to fast and seek God and to, you know, seek God and get wisdom from the Lord.
Amen.
And so, you know, I believe that Mordecai and Esther both had a lot of wisdom and they were obedient. And the main thing is that they were obedient to the word of the Lord.
That's
and,
right.
You know, God protected them and they were able to fight. See, they still had to fight.
That's right.
You know, God gives you directions, but there's still a war to be fought. And
that's
we
right.
are called, we're bride warriors. This is the year of the bride warrior. So we still have to fight the battle.
Sure, because the king could have stopped all of it, but he just gave them, the decree was written that they could defend themselves. So they still had to fight against the enemy.
See, when the king makes a decree, he made a decree also with Haman. And so that decree couldn't have been broken. Well, we can take this back and look and see what happened in Egypt too as well.
Sure.
You know, kings have authority. So he made a new decree with Esther and Mordecai that they could fight. But they had to fight. God just didn't zap them, get rid of all the bad people, you know. The people had to do what they had to do. So that, to me, that tells me that, you know, we have a battle, and we always have a battle, because the enemy never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always out there. He doesn't need, you know, to rest. He's always out there working to bring destruction, to steal, kill, and destroy. So we always have to be on guard. We have to be on guard, and we need to pray. And, you know, sometimes when we get weak and we get like what you've been through, that we need people to pray to hold us up.
That's right.
You know, Moses needed people to hold his arms up, right? Aaron and Hur held his arms up while the battle went on.
That's right.
So we have to, we need people. We need to hold each other's arms up. And when somebody is weak, when somebody is, they can't stand, maybe they're not able to stand at that time. Like when you were going through these things, you lost a few, maybe a week or so, you don't even remember.
So drunk, you know? Up, yeah.
So all these things. So people, we have to stand for each other. And so we've got an army. This is why we're an army. This is why the church is an army. We're an army. We're warriors. So we're war, and we're brides. So we're warrior brides. And this is the year of the warrior bride, because the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy.
I was thinking about there about the king. So he's a picture of God the Father, okay?
Yes.
He has the authority. Like I said, the king could have stopped the whole mess and not allowed anything to happen, just released the Jews. But instead, he allowed them to fight. So God is in control. And so now, what? We have to fight the battle here on this earth with his help, amen? And when we do, we'll win the battle. What I wanted to read, have you read at the end, was the last little few verses, and how God honored those two, those two people, Esther.
Chapter 10.
I thought this was incredible what happened. Listen to this.
And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. This was a large area, Pastor
G. Sure was. Big territory.
And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps. Whereunto the king advanced him, advanced Mordecai, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of the Medes and the Persians? These were the Medes and the Persians. It's back in history. We know you can look that all up. It's history.
Yeah.
And Mordecai the Jew was next unto King
Ahasuerus. Listen to that, huh?
And great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed.
Isn't that wonderful?
And you know, not only that, but you know, they were given the house
that Haman had.
he was given a ring. That's all mentioned in chapter 9.
He was in second in command, just like Joseph was in Egypt.
That's right. The Jews, he was ordained.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing event in history that God wants us to know about, because, see, God's in control of everything. He can stop everything. But he's given us the power within because of Christ, what he did for us. He died and shed his blood and rose from the grave. So now we've been given power and authority over the works of the enemy. So then we have to go out and do the battle ourselves. And so that's what happened with Esther and Mordecai. They were released by the king, which is a picture of God. And so they went to war then against the enemy. We're doing the same thing today.
That's right.
In the spiritual realm in our lives as well.
That's right.
So it's a wonderful event. So gracious.
And so mentioned, you talked about the 13th day, the 14th day, and the 15th day, and and they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness.
That's
I'm reading in chapter 9.
About pure.
Therefore, the Jews of the village that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting. See, God always tells us the number. He always tells us the day.
Yeah.
He tells us the month. You know, and he keeps history, records. Records are kept.
He never misses a moment or a day.
And you know, he even tells us that we're to remember these days.
That's
this
right.
is a picture of history, with what happens, what happened in the past, always, you know, what happened before will happen again. You know, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
And a good day, and of sending portions to one another. This is the time of giving gifts, not during Hanukkah. This is the time of giving gifts.
That's right.
And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly,
yeah.
as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a Purim celebration and a Purim program, because we're going to remember these things. And the sending portions to one another and gifts to the poor. And the Jews understood to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of the Haman, how do you pronounce that? Hamadatha, the Agite, he was the Agite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, these are lots, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head,
amen,
praise God, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they call these days Purim after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, amen, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined them, others joined them, that unto them as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time of every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every providence, even if you're not a Jew, because this is history. We are grafted in. We are spiritual Jews. And every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to conform the second letter of Purim. Amen. We're running out of time. You got to finish reading the rest of this chapter and read it all. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio program again. Keep us in prayer, please. We thank you. Thank the Lord. Our telephone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And I have been strengthened by doing this radio program. I can tell you that right now. I feel it in my spirit, man. So we thank you and we love you guys. So
we're honored to be here with you. And it's been seems like it's been a long, long time since we've been here live with you, but we're here. So we trust you. We're blessed with what you heard today, and not just because of Don and I, but because it's the Word of God, and it's a living Word.
Amen. So we're raising the standard.
So as we close this program every week, we're here because we love people, and we want to do what Donna said. We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ with all the stuff and the morals that we see today. So we're honored to be here with you. So as we close the program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.